Scripture reading this morning is found in Galatians chapter 5. And just a few verses, 22, 3, 4, and 5. I guess four verses. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so ready or not, the holidays are upon us. 33 days till Christmas. Don't panic. But this, just a few days left till Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving is sort of late this year, so less than a month after Thanksgiving is Christmas. Lots of Christmas decorations going up everywhere, and it seems this year earlier than I remember, earlier than normal. Although this isn't a normal year, so that makes some sense. And kind of what we're doing around our house, too. Let's get Christmas here as fast as we can and celebrate it as much as we can. It's kind of been hard this year to be of good cheer, right? So we're all more than ready for the most wonderful time of the year. I'm ready for that. You're not ready for me to sing, but that's ready for that time of year. Is there something special around the holidays that gets you into the holiday spirit? Is it the lights that show up inside, outside? Is it the weather? I had somebody say to me the other day, you know, it's just hard to kind of get in the Christmas or holiday spirit because the weather's been so nice. It's been so warm. But some people need cold weather and snow to feel like Christmas. Maybe it's getting the tree up. Maybe it's the music, hearing more of the Christmas songs on the radio, or maybe you're playing them in the car, in the house, in the stores. What gets you in that Christmas spirit? For me, and now I know this is going to sound a little strange, but for me, it's the turkey. Yeah, it's the turkey. I love eating turkey. Ask anyone who goes to La Rosa's with me for lunch what I always order at La Rosa's. What do I order? Yeah, the turkey hoagie. I just like turkey. And turkey at Christmas time, at Thanksgiving time, the holidays, is different from turkey any other time of year. In fact, probably there's no other time of year, I know at least around our house, that we fix the big bird. We might have turkey sandwich or something, but actually putting the big bird in the oven and fixing it, that only happens around the holidays. But that's special to me. That puts me in the holiday spirit. The cooking the turkey kind of raises the banner. Woohoo! Party banner, let's go! And it's because I've had some deliciously fond memories of cooking that turkey around the holidays as I've been growing up, and most of my life, actually. I've been blessed in a way to have surrounding me folks who could really cook. So, of course, my mom and my grandma, but now, since I've been married, my mother-in-law and my wife, great cooks, and always brought out the best around the holidays. So much planning and effort would go into preparing the holiday meal. So much love went into that special family Thanksgiving meal. Recipes, food, pots, pans flying everywhere all day long. Tons of side dishes, of course, with the turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, green bean casserole. We had cornbread stuffing, yam jam. That's what you call sweet potato casserole, isn't it? Yam jam. Yeah, well, if you don't, you can now. Homemade rolls, cranberry sauce, salads, fruit salad, Waldorf salad, that's my favorite. And all kinds of desserts, of course. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie, lemon pie. Oh my, the desserts are just wonderful around Thanksgiving, the holidays. But the centerpiece was always the turkey. And growing up with lots of kids at home, mom would get a really big turkey. She'd throw a 20, 25 pounder in the oven for us to eat on. And pretty much We ate about all of it that day. There wasn't a whole lot of leftovers, even with that big of a turkey. And so that centerpiece, the turkey, the stuffing in the turkey, would be prepared ahead of time. You'd get that bird going, get it, if it was frozen, get it thawed out. Usually we got a fresh one. But it had to be washed, had to be cleaned outside, and you had to run water inside both cavities, get that all cleaned out, and then get it ready for the stuffing, and then, you know, tie up the legs, tie up the ends, coat it a little bit with something, could be olive oil or whatever you want to put over it, and then get that thing in the oven. And if it was an early afternoon meal, that bird would go in the oven before the sun came up. And so it would just cook a long time throughout the day. And when it comes out, just golden brown, just smells delicious, just looks great. That is what put me in the holiday spirit. And I share that with you because I think that's kind of what the Apostle Paul was getting at in Galatians chapter 5, that passage we read from the scriptures a moment ago. And now, as Christians, we don't necessarily live in the holiday spirit. Instead, we live in the holy way spirit. See what I did there? Not the holiday spirit, but the holy way spirit, with a capital S. And so there are certain types of recipes for our life of faith that put us in the spirit. Listen to that passage again from Galatians chapter 5, just that one verse, verse 25, which in the NIV says, puts it this way, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, now listen to the Message translation. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That's a recipe for being in the Spirit, not just at special times of the year, but all year round. The centerpiece of the Christian faith is our life in the Spirit. It's like cooking the turkey. It's the main dish for us. Faith without the Spirit is like Thanksgiving without turkey, or if you don't fix turkey or don't like turkey, Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie, or, you know, whatever makes Thanksgiving meal for you. If you take that out, it just doesn't seem right. And that's the same with the Christian life. You remove living in the Spirit. You remove life in the Spirit. You remove things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, the fruit of the Spirit. You remove that from your life, and it's not the same. It's not what it's supposed to be designed by God. So the question this morning is, how do we cook that turkey? You know, what's the recipe for getting into the holiday, or I should say the holy way? What's the recipe for getting in the holy way Spirit? And that's what we want to look at this morning. And there's basically three steps. It's kind of like there's three steps for cooking the turkey. And the first step is the preheat step. I think writers of recipes have done us a great service by making sure that they put that as step number one, preheat the oven. Because if you've ever forgotten to turn the oven on when you've put something in, you know how important that step is. Preheat the oven. This is the kind of life we have chosen, is how the scripture reads. We choose that life of the Spirit. We choose whether to live with purpose and power and destiny, or simply to exist under the daily grind of mediocrity. It's our decision whether to accept the abundant life that the Creator has promised to us, or to live a self-absorbed life under the tyranny of meaninglessness. Healthy faith requires intentionality. We don't just drift into abundant life. We don't just kind of wander our way eventually into spiritual maturity. We don't become strong and vibrant and holy by accident. It takes a choice on our part. We choose life. God has done an amazing thing for us. He's if you want to put it this way, he's stuffed this eternal turkey full of life, and he's delivered it to our door. But we have to be home to receive it. And that cornucopia of blessing has your name on it, and it's overflowing with grace and truth and love and power. But you're the one that has to put it in the center of the table. You're the one that has to make it the centerpiece of your life. And God has a recipe for your life. It's a wonderful recipe that's full of peace and hope and just a satisfaction, rest, the Bible calls it, rest in Christ. And it's a wonderful life, a grace-filled life. But you have to preheat the oven. You have to choose that life in order for it to be kind of cooked up in your heart and soul. That's step one. You don't turn the oven on, nothing gets cooked. Or as happened at one Thanksgiving, I remember, you turn the oven on, your turkey's in there, and you check it after an hour, see how it's going, and it's stone cold. Oops, what's wrong? Everything looks like it's working well. We had an element in the oven burnout. It just went kaput on Thanksgiving Day. And that's, that's all your cooks going like this. That can be crazy. So we turn the oven on. Same in our faith. We need to choose to live by the Spirit. We don't do that, then nothing of God's eternal goodness gets baked into our lives. So that's step one, the choice that we make. That's the preheated thing. That's God working in our life to make it available to us, to deliver it to our table, and then it's up to us to set the table with His Spirit, His life, His grace, His love. So the second step has to do with then once the oven's preheated, then we can bake things in the oven. So that's what the passage is talking about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, when it says, let's make sure that we do this, okay? We live by the Spirit. Let's make sure we walk by the Spirit. Let's be intentional to focus our lives, and not just as we get started, not just as we kind of set the oven at 350, but as we spend hours cooking the turkey. Once we start down the path of faith, following Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to stay on the path of faith, the path of discipleship. It can take a long time to cook a turkey. It takes a long time to grow in Christ. And we understand it takes a lifetime. We'd never stop growing in our faith. When the Bible talks about growing stronger, it means that's what's required. That's necessary. It's not something that, okay, you know, about 50 years ago, I preheated the oven, and then that's all that ever happened. No, 50 years ago, I stepped out and started following Jesus Christ, and it's been a long journey where God has been cooking things in my soul all along. So we choose life, and then we dedicate ourselves to that life. We pledge allegiance to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we mix all of the right ingredients from God's recipe into the dish, and then we get it into the oven of commitment. And there's a lot of spices in that recipe that God has for, a lot of good spices in that recipe. I don't know if you remember, and I guess it's still around, the old shake and bake stuff. Can you still get that? Okay, plastic bag where comes with just the perfect balance of spices that you put in the bag, and you put the breadcrumbs in the bag too, and then you put whatever you're baking. It might be a chicken or a pork chop or something, you know. You put it in the bag, and then you shake it all up. And then once it's shook up, it's ready to go in the oven, and all of the proper coating and spices, all of that's already taken care of because you did the shake and bake. Well, that's what happens with the life of faith. We We get the main dish. We get it that we accepted Jesus Christ's death on the cross for our salvation, embraced the living Lord as Savior in our life, and follow His lead. We get that. But then the shake and bake happens every day after that. There's all kinds of wonderful blessings, challenges, things that help us grow in our character, who we are, our relationships with others, our relationship with God. Those kinds of things add spice to our life, and they get us in the full of the Spirit, get us in the proper way to grow in our Christ-likeness. We call that holiness. That's why we encourage people to make those commitments through the church, like tithing, like attendance, like getting involved somehow, like supporting missions. The kind of work we do in the church are kind of the things that spice our character, spice our life, and allow that shake and bake that God wants to do with us, allows that to happen. And so that those practices that we sometimes just take for granted, that, you know, this is just something that we've always done, like put a dollar in the offering plate or whatever it is. You know, those things are important. Those things are the spices that God uses to help bake the Christian character into our lives. So we got the preheat, choosing life. We've got the bake, making sure that we're staying on track. And then finally, we've got the baste. When the bird's in the oven, Mom used to do, I don't know how much this is done anymore, but every once in a while she'd open up the oven door and she'd take a baster, a little you know, plastic tube with a suction cup on the end of it, and she'd suck up some of the juices in the bottom of the pan with that baster, and then she'd squirt that on top of the bird. Every once in a while she would do that. Why? To keep it from drying out, to keep it juicy and tender. And that's what this passage means in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. That's what keeping in step with the Spirit is all about. Work out its implications in every detail of your life. And now that our faith is cooking, we need to baste it with the juices of the Spirit. We need to regularly soak in the presence of the Lord. For our faith, our salvation, to permeate every detail of our lives, we need to be saturated with the Spirit. Long time ago, a famous Christian devotional pastor wrote this little tract called Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence, practice the presence of God. And it's all about the things that we do to just kind of soak in God through His Spirit. The good news is God's always with us. That's His promise that He's made to us. That's His nature, to be with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, the Emmanuel, God with us. And so He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. The problem comes in when we're not with Him. And so the idea of basting is to continually put ourself in the presence of God, soak in the Lord. Sometimes we have to be intentional about that. That doesn't happen automatically. We have to do things that cultivate the presence of God in our life. Things like what you're doing right now, coming to worship. But you can do that tomorrow, you know. We might not all be with you, but you could worship the Lord tomorrow. Do you ever just break out in song to the Lord? We sing praises and hymns on Sunday morning, but what about on Monday morning? Isn't there a praise song that might come off your lips? For me, oftentimes it's Jesus Loves Me. It just rolls out of my brain almost every day. So those kinds of things, reading the Scriptures, of course, prayer. Sometimes there's extra things like fasting, things that help us like I said, cultivate, soak in, be based with the presence of God. Micah put it this way. One of the things that we should, some of the things that we should do to continue to help us allow the presence of the Lord to be with us, the Spirit of the Lord to fill us, is to act justly and walk humbly with your God. And those things are daily things. Those things are things that happen constantly. John Wesley, who is the founder, of course, of Methodism, had three rules for his societies. As Methodist societies sprung up all around England, even before Methodism became an official denomination, there were these Methodist societies. And so Wesley understood that it would be helpful if there was something connecting all of those societies together. And so there's these three rules that he put out there for all the societies to practice. And if all the societies had those in common and were practicing them together, there'd be a wonderful unity and harmony about Methodism. And those three rules are simple. Do you remember what they are? Three rules are, first, do no harm. Second, do good. And thirdly, pay attention to the ordinances of God, or attend, he'd put it, attend upon the ordinances of God. You may have seen that kind of redone in a more modern version, and it keeps the same two, do no harm, do good. It changes the third one to make it sound more up-to-date. Instead of attend upon the ordinances of God, it says stay in love with God, which I don't like as much myself personally. I think that whole idea of staying in love is more of an emotional or romantic idea. That's not what loving God is all about. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. Doesn't say anything about the emotional aspect of it. We love God. We express to him our love, you know, all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I think Wesley's intention was is that you act out that love in very intentional, real ways through holy practices. And I'm not sure staying in love with God captures that. But anyway, I digress. So doing no harm is you just avoid the things that aren't holy. So you don't swear and you don't drink and you don't run rampant. You don't do the things that are sinful, are against what we find in Scripture. You find those in the Ten Commandments. You don't cheat. You don't steal. You don't lie. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. You know, Wesley would say, do no harm at first. Avoid those things. But then do good. Be proactive. Love your neighbors. As the Ten Commandments talk about, honor your parents, your father and mother. Do positive things. Help the hungry. Help the poor in your community. Do good. Do no harm. Do good. And thirdly, attend upon the ordinances of God. And those are the kinds of things I alluded to a little while ago, the things that kind of help keep us, fresh and not dry out, kind of based our life in the Spirit. And so things like worship, public or private, things like reading Scripture, praying, tithing, being involved in service, using the spiritual gifts and graces that you have to help others. Serving in mission or supporting missions. Those are the kinds of things that God would call us to, attending upon the ordinances of God. So as Methodists, we have a long history of things that help us get that turkey cooking in our life. Preheating and baking and basting, those are things that when you apply them to the spiritual life, help cook the character of Christ, the Spirit of Christ within us. So I don't know what you need to get in the spirit of the holiday. It varies from person to person, but I know what you need to get in the spirit of the holy way, the Holy Spirit. And we've just kind of gone over those things. So maybe this week when you're either eating a feast or preparing a feast, you might think about the kinds of things that provide the feast of our faith, the things that help fill us with the Spirit of God. I remember as a child, my brothers and sisters and I sitting around the television at the holidays, started with Halloween, but also Thanksgiving and Christmas. There was always a Peanuts special on Charlie Brown. You know, it's Christmas Charlie Brown or Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And I remember how powerful it affected me when it was Christmas time, and there's all kinds of activity going on. The gang around Charlie Brown was busy with doing so many things, getting a play together, trying to decorate, Snoopy in his doghouse, you know, just all kinds of distractions going on. Charlie Brown was trying to direct the Christmas play, and people were doing their own thing, dancing, singing, you know. And he got just so frustrated, he pulled out the one hair he had, you know. and he said, "Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is really all about?" And, of course, that beautiful setting, and Linus takes center stage and he says, "I know what it's about, Charlie Brown." And he starts reading the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And he gets to the point where he says, "And there was glory all around." He gets to the place as he reads through the fact that the Messiah was coming, Emmanuel, God is with us. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. God with us. And my prayer this morning for us all is that we'll pay attention to what it takes for us to be with God. We celebrate, starting with the Advent season, starting as soon as you want to this year, we celebrate the God with us story, the Emmanuel, the baby born in the manger. That Christmas story. Advent season is all about preparing for his coming to be with us. My prayer is that we'll pay attention to what it takes for us to be with him. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, once again you've reminded us of just how wonderful you are. We thank you for your amazing grace, your wonderful love, your great mercies that are new and fresh every day. We spent time here this morning singing your praises and offering you our thanks. And we spent some time paying attention to your word to us this morning. And as tough a year as this has been for all of us, help us to see the light of your good news this year in powerful ways. Maybe more than ever, Lord, the whole world needs a reminder that you are with us, that you won't leave us alone, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That message is out there. Help us as a church to ring it loud and clear. But also help us, each one, to put ourselves in a place where we can experience your presence in us in new and fresh, mighty and powerful ways. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.